Let me pray for us and dive into my message. Lord, I am thankful, God, for this place to gather. I'm thankful for these students, Lord. I'm thankful for your word and your truth. And God, today, I pray that as we even talk about, Lord, just suppressing the truth that you have made so clear to us, God, that we will instead embrace it and be willing to share it with others, that there is a God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we're actually going to kick it off with a video. So we're going to turn the lights down and make sure the sound's on, and got a little video to rock for you guys as I kick off my message. You know, why watch that other than the fact that planet Earth is awesome? I love watching that. So we watched that video because, there we go. It's just a little bit better to see me when I'm talking. We watched that video because the cinematography is awesome. No, we don't watch it. The cinematography is awesome. I'm so thankful for the God that has allowed us to create technology that would allow us to see things that our own human eye would never be able to see because we couldn't get that close to animals. But it's like, I'm not going to have you think, but I want you to think in your, say it out loud, but I want you to think in your mind, man, what are some of the things that come to mind when you see that video? Because when I see that video, I think about, wow, that is so awesome that God would create those things. We didn't even know what half of them were for and what they're about, but God has a plan and he has a reason and we get to see it. Now, the cool thing that I think in some ways is that the BBC are the ones that are the producers of Planet Earth. They will, if you watch them, they will never allude to a God, and the company BBC is not Christian, but they will actually talk about design and nature, and what they'll basically say is that this, what we just saw up there, nature thought it up on its own and created itself. That's what they'll allude to when you watch the BBC. And today we're talking about the suppressing of truth. To me, now obviously I'm a Christian, I believe in God's word, but when I watch that, I go, how could nature create itself in that way, in those things, in the beauty of that? That is a suppressing of truth. Here's the thing. No one would look at a statue that somebody made. No one would look at that and say, that is so cool that that statue made itself. Right? They would say, there was a creator that created that beautiful statue. You know, but in our pride as humans, we have to have an answer for the things that we don't know and the things that we can't fully understand. We want an answer for them. And so today, I want to tell you about those two questions again that were up there. Two real-life questions. We're talking about real-life choices. I want to give you two real-life questions that I think if you haven't thought about, you will think about one day, and you probably will continue to think about throughout your life. And they're this. Where did all of this come from? Like, where, the world, us, life, where did it come from? And second, why am I here? Like, what is the point of my life? Right? We all kind of go throughout our day-to-day life, and a lot of times we're just living, we're going to school, we're going to work, we're doing our family things, we're playing sports. And then sometimes, whether it's, I don't know, something kind of hard happens and we start to wonder, what's the point of all this? Like, why are we here? I don't get it. That's a real life question that you want the answer to. Or maybe it's just you do hear some things that kind of go against the Christian worldview that you've always been taught, and you start to think, what's this all about? Why are we here? And I think those are good questions to think about and let God's word and God's truth talk to you. And I think what the answer to where did all this come from is that God has made a created world, which we just saw, so beautiful that we would wonder about a designer and a God that would create it. God made us to wonder. I love that space, we can't figure out how far space goes. I totally think that is God going, you guys can't figure me out. It just keeps going. I'm all powerful. And then the question of why am I here, what's the purpose of this, is that when we start to look for this deeper meaning on earth, as kind of the routine and basic things of life kind of get to a point where like, why do I continue to do these things? Or tragedy strikes, and this question of purpose and morality, they lead us to actually find our purpose and morality. And we find it when we find it in God. So the real life choice today, the real life question for you is, as I talk about this, is will you submit to God instead of suppress the truth, which is clearly seen? And I'm going to talk to you about why it's clearly seen. Romans 1, verse 18 says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So there's this, Paul clearly says, there's a suppressing of truth going on in the world. And I think we can, I mean, it's actually kind of clear to see this in America, right? In this age of political correctness, there's certain things that we feel like we can't say. We got to be nice to each other. We can't really say that there's an objective truth. And I mean, sadly, if you just turn on the news for like 2 minutes, you're going to see the suppressing of truth. You know, you're going to see things like they're trying to cover up. Did the Russians interfere in the election? I don't know, but someone's trying to cover that up, whether it happened. You guys have heard of that, the journalist Jamal Khashoggi that was killed? You know, there's all this covering up of that, suppressing of the truth. And this idea of suppressing the truth, it has this idea of holding down fast. Like this suppressing is a physical holding down. And what it makes me think of, it makes me think of someone drowning someone else. Because that person underwater is trying to get up. They want to get air. They want to say, you know, let me go. But that person is holding them under. And that's what the suppressing of truth is holding down the truth. Now, Paul here makes it clear. There's two reasons why we suppress the truth: ungodliness and unrighteousness. And he wraps it all up by saying, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Now, so there's two reasons why people will suppress the truth. The first one is ungodliness. That just means, literally, they just don't care about God. Like, they're like, the God thing, don't believe it. Maybe they're atheist, maybe they're agnostic. Maybe they're kind of a nominal Christian, maybe they're spiritual. So they have some things out there. There's a varying array of things. But ungodly is like, I just don't care about the God thing. Whether I believe there's a God or not, I don't care about it. So by that, I suppress the truth. Because the truth is, God's revealed that he's real. The second one is unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is injustice, moral wrongfulness. And it's the desire that kind of for a moral gain in life. And really, it simply comes down to people, we as Christians at times, but those that are not Christians, they suppress the truth by their sin. We do that. We're good at it. We're really good at that. What we do is we suppress the truth about there being a right and a wrong way to live. And we'll naturally suppress the truth that there is an almighty, transcendent God. And it's because we want what we want. Like, that's me. Like, Lee wants what he wants. So Lee will be really good at suppressing the truth. That there's a God who loves me and cared for me and died for me. That is my leader and my king that wants to rule my life. But I will suppress that truth because I want to get what I want. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, you know, there's some people, I'm not denying this, that there's a logical way that they come to the reason that they don't believe there's a God. There's a lot of logic there. And there's a whole lot of people that really, what happens is this. Ultimately, their morality defines their theology. Stole that right from the words of the mouth of Bob Shaw. Bob Shaw told me that. Their morality will define our theology, but it's really true. And that's exactly what Paul's saying. Paul's not saying all of a sudden you started studying theology and started studying about God, and you're like, yeah, this God thing really doesn't make sense. Paul's saying people begin living the way that they want. And when they begin living the way that they want, God becomes who they want him to be. When we live the way God wants us to, all of a sudden, God becomes real to us. The God of the Bible becomes real to us. We're like, yeah, this is the way he's designed us to live. But we're naturally bent to want to go our own way. And when we do that, we suppress the truth of who God really is. Now, verses 19 and 20, Paul goes on and he says, the reason here they're suppressing the truth, but here's the truth about it. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. And so, Paul is saying this idea of plain, this idea of the word plain, it's like it's in plain view. They can see it, what's known to them. It's like it's in public view. It's apparent. It's not like it's hidden. It's not like God's trying to hide himself and say, you got to do some really good research. You really figure out about me and you got to go get your master's degree to know about God. No, Paul's saying it's plain. It's clear that God is out there, but these people are suppressing the truth. And then, go to the next slide. In verse 20, he says, for since the creation of the world, look at that world. That's a picture of our world. He says, since the creation, that God just spoke that world into being. And you might think I'm crazy when I say that God spoke this into being, but I think you might be convinced by the end of what God says, is that his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. This is what we call general revelation. That sounds like a big term. What that means is God has clearly revealed to everyone in the entire world that there is a God by what he's created. This world, what we can see. Every culture has experiences. This is why you cannot go to a culture. It doesn't matter what place you go to, what culture you go to, that see that there is some kind of God or gods. Because everybody realizes it's an apparent that there is a God. With our eyes, our ears, and our mouths, and our nose reveal to us that there is a God. Now, I want to go through some pictures with you. So go ahead. I want to just walk through some pictures that I think are just, boom, they hit us like this creation. So go to the next slide. It's like a beautiful, these animals that God has made, the stripes on there, the design. So cool. Go to the next slide. These are the Northern Lights. Go up into Minnesota, Canada. This is a natural thing that God has created. But I mean, probably just all these things came together and there was this bang and then these beautiful lights came. All right, go to the next slide. The mountains, the view of the mountains, that we get some of these different views around here. It's like this isn't like massively photoshopped. I mean, I've seen views like this. This is the view that God has created us to enjoy. I'll go to the next slide. The desert. I'm walking you through the different climates that God has created that are just all different and beautiful. The desert. The shades there that God has created for us to enjoy. All right, go to the next slide. The rainforest. Man, the intricacies of the rainforest. God's just, he's yelling out, I'm real. I created this. This isn't just the things came together and, oh, here it is. No, this is an intelligent designer. All right, go to the next slide. Antarctica. Beautiful. The snow, the ice. All right, go to the next slide. All right, this is literally from the cruise that I went on. This is my picture. I thought, you guys think all these photos are just Photoshop. My parents paid for us to go on a cruise. This is it. It is true. If you've never been, the water is that clear. It's not a joke. It's not just pictures you see. That was there just in December, thinking God made this for us to enjoy. It's like, how is it possible that that's the Atlantic Ocean? And when I go to the beach in North Carolina, the water at best days is like a really pretty green, and on worst days is brown. And that's the same ocean. That's the same exact ocean. How is that? Right? God's screaming out. I'm a creator. I'm a designer. All right, go to the next slide. Man, the colors that we get to experience here in Virginia, of the flowers, or of the leaves changing. Beautiful. All right, next slide. I took this picture, not kidding. I just thought it was so cool, the intricacies that God would make it that's a locust that has, it's left its shell, but it was left on the flower. Just the beauty of what God has created us to see. All right, the next slide. I took that picture too. A butterfly. I mean, the details. And God's like, oh, you're going to create more technologies, because then if you create more technologies, you can't figure me out. And then God's like, I'll make your cameras better so that you can actually see more detail than you could with your own eye. And it will produce more and more to believe that there is a God, that God continues to scream that there's a creator. All right, the next slide. I can't remember how many pictures I put up there. Oh, yeah. I took this one, too. I'm just proud of my pictures, I guess. But I thought it was just cool. Just the detail of this snake just popping its head out. This was taken right in Reston. Actually, just right at the stream, right around here. But a snake. Okay, go to the next slide. I can't remember if there's any more. Okay, so you can stop right there. Man, God, guys, I'm just showing you some pictures. And God's screaming, I'm real by the created world. We might suppress the truth, but the creation is screaming to all of us. There is a God. There is a designer. Okay, the next video, I do want to show it to you because I think it's cool. Because I'm not that smart, so I got to find videos that are smarter than me. If you can drag that video over and show it on there, it's going to tell you a little bit more about creation and how God is speaking through creation. So in verse 20, it said, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature. Now, when it says the word power, that word comes from the word dynamis, which is the word for dynamite. Think about this crazy power that can blow things up and do amazing things. This is the same, this power that God created this world with is the power that he created these things up here. The universe, think about the universe. You think about like this power of a hurricane. That's Hurricane Florence up there at the top. That's what it looks like from above. Think about the power to create the planets that we barely even know anything about. The power to create volcanoes that erupt that we can't control. We cannot create a single thing that can stop the flow of a volcano. It's going to come. We can't stop a hurricane. We can't stop mudslides. This is the power that God has, that he has created. But it's the fact that at the same time, God created that as a natural flow of life. The oceans, the tides come and go. God keeps that going. But they stay in the bounds that they're supposed to. The earth stays on its axis and doesn't spin off. That the planets stay in their orbit. That gravity keeps us planted. The seasons continue to come and go every year that we get to enjoy. And God is continuing to tell us, I am powerful. I'm more powerful than you. And he's screaming out again. I want to give you a couple of things. If you can go to the next slide. Here's some facts about the earth that I did not make up. The earth is 25,000 miles in circumference, weighs 6,588 tons, and hangs unsupported in space. It spins at 1,000 miles per hour with the absolute precision and careens through space around the sun at the speed of 1,000 miles per minute and in orbit 580 million miles long. That's what God created. He's screaming out, I'm real. I'm God. If you didn't understand that, neither did I, but it's important. Okay, with giant telescopes such as the 200-inch diameter instrument at Mount Palomar in California, astronomers can observe objects 4 billion light years away, a distance of more than 25 septillion miles. Here's what that microscope or that thing looks like that you look through in the sky. Go to the next slide. That's what it looks like. So they can see billions of miles away. Again, God's screaming. You try to figure me out. Keep going. You can't, but I'm real. And this is what this is the place. Go to the next slide. This is the thing that it's housed in. What is that thing called? I can't remember. Telescope. That telescope. I'm like, microscope. No, telescope. That's what that telescope is housed in. We had to create a building and a telescope that big just to be able to see that far. And that's not the end. That's not the end. Next slide. At any given time, this one's crazy to me. At any given time, there's an average of 1,800 storms in operation in the world. The energy needed to operate those storms amounts to the incredible figure of 1.3 billion horsepower. By comparison, a large earth-moving machine has 422 horsepower and requires 100 gallons of fuel a day to operate. Go to the next slide. Just one of those storms producing a rain of 4 inches over an area of 10,000 square miles would require energy equivalent to the burning of 640 million tons of coal to evaporate enough water for such a rain. And to cool those vapors and collect them in the clouds would take another 800 million horsepower of refrigeration working night and day for 100 days. I mean, it's just amazing. The things that naturally happen that God created to happen. I'm just going to keep going because it's cool. There's this guy named Robert Jastrow, an astrophysiologist, and was the director of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Here's what this guy said. Now we see how the astronomical evidence supports the biblical view of the origin of the world. The essential elements in the astronomical and biblical accounts of Genesis are the same. Consider the enormousness of the problem. Science has proved that the universe exploded into being at a certain moment. It asks, what cause produced this effect? Who or what put the matter and energy into the universe? That's the point. Like, we can get to this. You can come to this Big Bang at some point and go, okay, but where was the energy to create the Big Bang? No one knows. Scientists don't know that. And here's what he says. For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the final rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been there for the centuries. I should have said pastors who have been there for the centuries. All right. So this guy who was this director of NASA is saying all of the evidence that he has seen points that there is a designer, there is a God who created this. You can go to the next slide. Even Charles Darwin, the creator of the evolutionary theory, said to this, to suppose that the eye with all its inevitable contraveniences for adjusting the focus to different distances. So the ability that my eye can look right here at this table, it's out of focus back there. I immediately look back there. It's in focus. This is out of focus. Do you realize how amazing that is? You guys that are photographers, you realize how hard it is to get things in focus. My eye immediately focus here and it's out of focus there. I go there, it's immediately back. Charles Darwin saying, the fact that the eye can do that for adjusting the focus is different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberration could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree. Now, Charles Darwin would go on to say, but you know what? That's all an illusion. Like, yeah, this is an illusion that we think that it's absurd. It could all happen. That's what he goes on to say. Now, Let's go on a little further. Technology's come along. I'm almost done talking about this stuff, okay? But I hope you've been amazed, because I have when I was studying this. What Darwin didn't know, this is what Darwin didn't know, was that there was three eye movements: tremors, drifts, and cicadacy, okay? And are caused by minute contractions in the six muscles in your eye that are attached to the outside of your eyes. Every fraction of every second, they very slightly shift the positions of your eyeball automatically without conscious effort on your part, making sight as you know it possible. That's what's happening in your eye just to see this screen and look up there, just to look at me. So think of how challenging it would be for a human to create the genetic code needed to produce the fine-tuned nervous system that makes precise coordinated muscle movements like tremors, drifts, and cicadaces possible. Amazing. Amazing. God, as we continue to go, is screaming, "I'm here. I'm real." So, okay, I got one more video I want to show you. I know a lot of videos, but this one's kind of cool. So go ahead and show, it's on the slides. It should be just the next slide. This is how an Audi is made. Now, it's cool to know that's exactly how my Audi was made. So it's fun to watch that. Now, you go look at, I'm sure there's some Audi, I know there's some Audis out in our parking lot. You go look at that Audi. It's cool to think that, like, all these parts that were strewn throughout the United States, this thing happened and that car came together and it was made into an Audi, right? Nobody looks at an Audi and says, there's no designer behind that. There's no creator. So why would we look at the universe and go, it just happened. There's these things formed. And I mean, I know there's some science behind it. I'm not trying to sound stupid. I don't know it all. And I understand there's some part people that can talk about that, could talk about that. But we don't look at an Audi and think that there's not a creator and a designer behind it. And God is screaming out from the beginning when he said, in the beginning, God created. And Paul's screaming again, by the created world that God has made, he is saying, there is a God, and I am real. I just think it's interesting that each of us, I think all of you, and I love seeing my son, the awe in his eyes as he starts to see things. He was at Bring It for a good part of it. And Wendy said, you know, he was just watching the stage and was just awed by the acrobats. Like, he just, you could have anything in his face. He was just locked onto him. Right? We're born with this all about us as we look at the universe, but over time, we're kind of taught to think it's not really true. It's not really real. There's different scientific reasons behind everything. And this is what I want to say to you right now. You are not stupid to believe that there is a God. You are not stupid to believe in God. There is real reasons to believe in God. And you know what Paul says? There's no excuse. For the people that are suppressing the truth, there's no excuse, because God has made it visible that there is a designer. And God's not looking to condemn all people and say, well, because, you know, you didn't have the Bible and no one told you about Jesus. I think the truth is that because God's created world is screaming that there is a God, it's declaring that he is a God, that he is a designer and sustainer. For those that truly desire to know God and call out to him, I believe God will make a way for them to know him. Because his world has created it for them to see. No one can find God on his own initiative, by his own wisdom or his own searching. But God has not left man to his own initiative and his own understanding and his own searching. God has sovereignly and universally made himself evident to men. No person, therefore, can plead ignorance of God, because entirely apart from Scripture, God has always revealed himself and continues to reveal himself in man, to man. So this is what he says in verse 21. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So although God speaks so loudly, he declares it, and man knows there is a God. Sometimes we come to this logical conclusion that when we suppress the truth of God, when we begin to live the way that we want, people begin to live the way that they want, the logical conclusion is, well, then they're going to go, there is not a God. I don't want there to be a God, and there isn't a God, and I'm going to live the way that I want. But man is held accountable, as Paul said, because they know that there's a God, because it's plain and clear to them. But do you know what happens? For as smart as we think we become, Paul says, actually our thinking becomes futile, which means it just becomes foolish. And I think one thing that reveals that both of these are true, that man's thinking becomes futile and that God is real, is the Me Too movement. Because the Me Too movement shows you that a man at its wickedness can do wicked, wicked things. But the Me Too movement at the same time declares this, that God has created us with a conscience that someone would say that it is wrong. God is declaring again that yes, when you leave God, your thinking will become futile. But they know that there is a God, that there is a conscience there for people to call it out. Go to the next slide. I think it's the right one. No one, again, looks at these paintings. These are some of the most famous paintings in the world. Mona Lisa, Leonardo da Vinci. Starry Night, who painted that? Van Gogh. I had to look that up, didn't know that. Sistine Chapel, who did that? Michelangelo. You know why these paintings are worth so much? These paintings are worth so much because of their creator. They receive honor and thanks by the amount of money that people are willing to pay for them, and that people come by the millions to see them. We actually, Wendy and I, when we moved into our old apartment that we used to live in, there was a replica of the Starry Night in our second bathroom. It was a replica. No one cared about it. It was worth zero. We took it off the wall because we're like, this isn't our kind of art, right? We didn't give any honor. We didn't give any thanks because it wasn't created by the real person. But those things, and like the world, God is saying, what I've created, declaring me, what that leads you to is I want you to give me honor and I want you to give me thanks. God is declaring that. He is a jealous God saying, that is what I want from you. And the way that we do that is not just by our words, but by our obedience to him, by following after him, by worshiping God. So I want to just read verses 22 and 23, and then I'm done talking about them just a little bit. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the mortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. So when they suppressed the truth and they began to think there's no God, live their own way, their thinking became futile, they did all they wanted. And then it's like, yeah, that was probably back in the Roman times, Paul. Like people, you know, like creating things that are like idols and like doing all these birds and animals and things. Well, I don't know. I think at the same time, we might worship the same things. Go ahead to the next slide. Think about the amount of money and worship that we give to these things. Y'all will pay some serious money for Supreme clothes. All right? Apple, we pay absurd amounts of money for our phone, and we worship it because we look at it all the time. LeBron James, we worship him for his skills, for how great he is. The Super Bowl, we worship the Super Bowl. We all watch it. Do you get it that the entirety of America is watching the same thing at the same time? That is called worship. Whether we realize it or not, we worship things. Why? Because we all come from the one creator that has put in us a desire to worship. But the question is, where does our worship go? Where does our honor and thanks go? So there's all kinds of man-made religions. So here's what I want to end it with this. For us, as we suppress the truth of God by going, Lord, I want to live my own way. I want to do what feels good to me. As we do that, we suppress the truth of God and we take on all of these other small g gods in our life. But we got to look to the real truth here. If you're not worshiping the one true God with your life, then anything else you were, and I'm talking to myself here, then anything else that I worship is also ultimately worship to Satan. I know it sounds crazy, but if you think of that to its logical end, if we are not worshiping God and we worship something else, then ultimately Satan is using that to draw our attention away from God. And we're worshiping him in that way. Yes, Satan uses the idols to do his own work. So here's where I want to end. If you can go to the next verse. This is from the King Nebuchadnezzar. All this came upon him, King Nebuchadnezzar, at the end of the 12 months. He was walking on his roof of his royal palace in Babylon. And the king answered and said, this is what Babylon said. Is it not this great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? He's saying, didn't I do all this? Didn't I bring this kingdom about? Didn't I build this palace? Go to the next verse. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what happened because he said, God, I did all this instead of you. Here's exactly what happened. The word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of the heaven till his hair grew as long as eagles' feathers, and his nails were like the birds of the clouds. He went crazy because he took the glory from God. He exchanged the glory and put it on himself. And go to the next slide. And here's what he said. He came to the end of his days, and Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High God and praise and honor him with who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar came back and said, no, there is a God, and I am crazy, and I am coming back to my right mind. And God ultimately restored it to him. Because what it says is that God, he gave the honor and the praise to where it was due, which was to God. Last verse. Go to the next slide. And go one more. I end with this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, obviously, this is to the Israelites, but I think it can apply to us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. And I think God's calling us to us as Christians, go, don't be ashamed. The world is crying out that I'm real. But there's a world out there that doesn't believe it. Will you live? Will you give me honor and thanks by the way that you live? And will you declare to the world that there is a God? And I'm going to say it one more time. You are not stupid to believe there is a God. Will you make the real life choice to embrace the truth and bring honor and thanks to God? Let me pray. Father God, thank you for your truth that is so revealed that, Lord, as we create new and new technology, it just shows more and more, God, how awesome you are by the things that you have created that we can see. And Lord, I pray that today, God, we're just encouraged that we can believe that you are real. But God, at the same time, because your creation screams, you're calling us out to go, will we give you honor and will we give you thanks? In Jesus' name, amen.